welcome to Massive Late Fee. And now your hosts, Mark and Carol.
Well, hello everyone. Welcome back to Massive Late Fee. My name is Mark. With me as always is my wife, Carol. How are you doing today, Carol?
Hey, what's up?
How much has been a good week? Here it is, April 30th, 1999, the last day of April, making its way to May.
I don't understand how that happened, because I swear to God it was just March, and it's already going to be May tomorrow.
I know. It's going to be your birthday pretty soon. We're going to your birthday month.
It is. And it is a whole birthday month, so I expect all the things.
There will be all the small things. There will be some big surprises for you.
Ooh.
For now, the listeners, for for the show this month, for Carol's birthday month, but also big surprises for Carol too, and like average size surprises too, I think, right?
Sure.
But speaking of average toys, they're average.
Sure, they are.
Star Wars toys to fill stores soon, Carol. The countdown to the Star Wars Episode 1 toy selling frenzy has begun. So grab your credit card, buy a cup of coffee, and get ready to stand in line. Just after midnight, some Metro Detroiters or Metro Detroit stores will open their doors.
What is happening?
To sell the much-awaited, highly hyped line of movie-related toys, including interactive banks that spring to life with the drop of a coin, computer games that transport you to settings in the film, and a line of 32 talking action figures that are said to be the most realistic-looking Star Wars characters ever made.
But seriously, people are going to go out just after midnight to buy those? Like, it's really that. It's just Star Wars.
Oh my, it's just Star Wars. Are you crazy?
I mean, it's cool and all, but
do you understand how, you're not as big of a dork as I think you are. Do you understand how huge of a deal this is? We're getting a new Star Wars movie for the first time in like 16 years.
Yeah, that's exciting. I'm excited about the movie, but like to go out at midnight to buy toys seems a little nuts.
You know people are going to be lined up to see this movie at midnight.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, and I will stand in that line.
We're going to, yeah, it's going to be difficult for us to get a seat, but, you know, we'll look for one somewhere.
We'll do it for y'all. We'll make it happen.
Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace. Area stores including FAO
Schwartz.
Media Play, Toys R Us, some KB Toy Works, and all Kmart stores say they will open at 12:01 Monday because they can't wait to cash in on the mega money they expect to make off toy sales.
That just seems greedy.
It does. But do you want to get your hands on some of these toys? Or a Star Wars shirt? Or a beach towel?
Not really.
Or a can of Pepsi?
Do you?
I don't know.
Is this a thing that we need to invest time and money into?
I'm not a toy person. I don't collect toys. I had toys when I was a child, but I don't.
Of course.
I'm not a toy collector.
Right, and neither am I. I mean, my mother is. But
yes, I know.
And she's also very into Star Wars.
And I'm wondering, is she going to be storming the castle, as they say?
No. There's no way she'll be in line at midnight.
No?
Mm-mm.
Wow. I don't know. I think prepare yourself for just a glut of coverage all the time about Star Wars till it comes out.
Okay. I'm prepared.
Okay, you're prepared. Good. What about Monica Lewinsky?
What about her? I'm tired of her.
Jesus Christ. The Monica Lewinsky book tour, part deux, continues from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, where about 2,000 people showed up on Friday at libraries, fine books, and music to gawk or get a signed copy of Monica's story. I don't blame her. She's so young, says Lisa Klass, who spent $24.95 on the book. It's such a stigma that she has to live with. One admirer asked what she was doing after the signing. I'm taking a hot bath and going to bed, Lewinsky said. with someone's husband.
So yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of insane that she's like capitalizing on the fact that she had an affair with the president. Like, she should be a little bit more, I don't know, ashamed of herself.
You think so? You don't think she's entitled to tell her story?
She can tell her story, but I wouldn't be so excited to tell the story if I were her.
I guess.
It seems kind of gross to make money on that.
Hey, I never noticed this before.
I've given blowjobs. I don't get $25 a book.
Whoa, how many? What? $25 a book?
I'm saying.
Like, I guess you blew the wrong people, huh?
I guess.
I never noticed this before, though. You can write a book about giving me a blowjob. The only man you ever have, I assume.
I love you, but I don't think people will pay for that book.
And then he crossed his eyes. And I've never noticed this before, but it gives the birthdays of celebrities today.
Hmm.
So I want you to guess the ages of these celebrities.
Okay.
Al Pacino's birthday today. How old is he?
50.
59.
Oh, wow.
Fairly close. Talia Shire.
I don't know who that is.
Okay, she's 53. Jeffrey DeMunn.
I don't know who that is.
He's 52.
Either.
Hank Azaria.
40.
35. Pretty close. And you don't know either one of these last two people that are singers.
Sorry, babe.
Oh, that's okay, babe. What about Wild Chick checks into rehab clinic? Wild Child Baiju Phillips says she checked into rehab to avoid her famous father's wrath over abuse of his credit cards. I was never a drug addict, the 19-year-old model and singer told Details magazine. When I got into so much trouble with the money, I knew my only option was the drug option. Father John Phillips's reaction? It's funny she would say that, because the rehab was like $40,000. So...
It's hilarious.
That's... Yeah, those are my cousins.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, everyone, for inflicting them on the world.
As you should be.
She went to a rehab clinic in Arizona, so I don't know exactly where. Do you have anything to say about anything today?
I don't know what to say about that. I mean, like, it's dumb. Like, she's in a rehab clinic.
She's
that
lying.
She's saying she doesn't even need.
Because she spent too much of her dad's money.
Whatever.
John Phillips, lead singer of the Mamas and the Papas. Famous drug addicts, John Phillips. Yeah, let's skip that one. I don't think the mood you're in, I don't think you're going to care about
what?
That. Let's see. What about Pentium 3?
What about it?
Do you want to give thanks to Pentium 3?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, then we'll skip this one too then. The chip's arrival has pushed prices way down. Here's what you need to know to be a smart shopper, everyone. The Pentium 3 is like manna from heaven for computer buyers.
Okay.
It's a gift not necessarily because you want to splurge for PCs that have this new chip inside, but because having a new model on the market means that the Pentium 2 machine prices have plummeted. Before you decide which machine you want to buy, you have some decisions to make. So they... recommend the Gateway, which is the basic model, the Aptiva, or if you want to go wow, get the Dell Dimension XPS, everyone. And then, okay. And then there's Mac too, but I'm not into Mac, so
I'm gonna get right on all of it.
Are you?
I am.
Okay, well, I think you ought to. No, we're gonna skip that. Oh, here's one. I want you to guess. I want you to guess the number. I've got the top 10 singles.
Okay.
The top 10 albums.
Okay.
And the top 10 alternative albums. I want you to see if you can guess any of them.
Oh, okay. No pressure.
Yeah, guess a song.
1999 by Prince.
Ooh. Good guess, but no.
Aww.
Every time you get one wrong, I'll tell you one of them.
Okay.
TLC's No Scrubs
okay.
is number one on the singles.
What the fuck was that?
I can feel something inside myself. Really don't think I'm strong enough.
Cher, do you believe?
Yeah, believe. Sure. You know that song.
Yeah.
She sounds like a robot.
She really doesn't, but okay. You do believe
in life after love. I can see.
What?
What about Slim Shady? The Slim Shady LP. What about Kid Rock, Devil Without a Cause? What about the various Matrix soundtrack? What about The Offspring, Americana? That's a good one. What about Sponge? That's a local band. What about Korn, Follow the Leader?
Yeah, I've never heard
Creed,
Sponge. What about Creed,
My Own Prison?
I hate that.
What about Fatboy Slim? You hate Creed?
Yes, I do. They're way, way, way overplayed. I'm sick of hearing them.
Here. What about Ben Folds?
I like Ben Folds.
He's got a new album.
Was it on the list?
No, it's brand new. Or it's going to be new. Wow, okay. You really just, you left me hanging there, Carol.
Does it have that Brick song on it?
No.
Aw.
No, I don't think they've re-released that on the new album. Ben Folds 5, the unauthorized biography of Reinhold Messner. That's the new album. You know within seconds that it's going to be different, trickling in like melting snow in January. The opening piano chords are hushed and lethargic, a far cry from the exuberant eruptions that kicked off the first two albums by Ben Folds 5. If you've glanced at the track listings, you already have guessed something strange was up, or down, to be exact.
Okay.
The album's lead-off track is titled Narcolepsy, its closing track Lullaby, and there's plenty of sleepiness in between. Oh, Brick isn't here. No, I'm just joking. At times listless, at other times downright weird, the album, which has nothing to do with the Australian mountain climber for whom it's ironically titled, comes off as the work of a road-weary, self-conscious band. Fans who got hooked on the North Carolina Trio's infectious piano punk may find themselves scratching their heads. Where are the sizzling harmonies, the sing-along tunes, the sassy humor? The first two BFF albums were endearingly mischievous. This one is a brat playing with matches, and it's not always fun to watch. If anything, Reinhold Messner is akin to Folds' experimental erratic 1998 solo album, Fear of Pop, or even to the trio's collection of outtakes and live oddities, Naked Baby Photos. There are new sounds all over the place for this piano, drum, bass ensemble. The pulsing electro decorations of Narcolepsy, the muted carpenter's horns of Don't Change Your Plans, the bachelor pad bongos of Regrets.
Okay, so I like the song Brick. I don't know if I like this weird shit.
I like Brick.
I'm sorry, why do I sound like your grandpa?
My grandpa? How, like, so my grandpa died before I was born, so I'm not sure how you would even know what my grandpa sounded like. Was he one of the men you blew?
All right. Fuck you. Was I blowing people before you were born? I'm not the fucking lich you are. No, I mean, but you made me sound like an old man, and I don't like it.
I like Brick. Fuck you.
I'm sorry. I was only supposed to make you sound like a simpleton.
Dentures in.
With them out, it's easier to blow people more comfortably.
I'm sure it is.
Anyway, speaking of blowjobs, I assume that the star of this movie gave a blowjob to her teacher, probably, at some point.
I feel like there was more than blowjobs happening.
Oh, of course, but I think that's probably part of it, right?
Yeah, probably.
It was something he taught her, get it, because he was a teacher?
Yeah, that's why the teacher was in quotes. On that fucking card. So we watched the movie Election.
Erection. We watched Erection. Oh, wait, Election. You're correct.
And it has the blonde girl from Cruel Intentions.
Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah, Reese Witherspoon.
And she's also from Fear.
Yes. And she's awesome.
Yeah.
I hate her hair in this movie, but she's awesome.
Yeah, she's got a short little, like, kind of cutie girl haircut.
Yeah.
She looks like a doll.
Yeah, she looks like she's, like, 10. And so it makes it even worse that she's sleeping with her teacher.
And we've got Matthew Broderick, who she's not sleeping with.
No, I don't like him.
No, he's Sarah Jessica Parker's husband. Huh. That's what I know him best from. And Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah, I know you love that movie.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
It's a fine movie.
And from killing that person and that mother and daughter in a car accident in England.
That's sad.
When he was driving with Jennifer Grey.
That's really sad.
Yeah, it happened. He got no jail time for it. So.
Well, because he's a celebrity, so of course.
Yeah, well, maybe they were driving on the wrong side of the road. I don't know. There's like, I don't know. There's stuff in there anyway.
So he's not the one she's sleeping with. Who is he sleeping with?
She's sleeping with Dave.
Dave. Dave's the name. Doesn't the actor also have a name? Do you remember?
I assume the actor has a name. I don't know it. Okay. But I assume he has a name.
You just usually know everybody.
He looks like, you know what he looks like? He looks like a college professor.
Sure.
He looks like the kind of college professor that you hate. Or no, more like a dean of students or something like that. Or like, you know, I don't know, a chair of a science department or something.
He would have done better in a college because then he wouldn't get in as much trouble sleeping with his students.
I guess that's true. But as it's pointed out, he's one of those teachers that loves teaching because he never grew up.
Yeah.
He plays guitar in a band, but he doesn't really play in a band. He just kind of jams. And he's got a wife that's, I guess, supposed to be hot.
Matthew
Broderick thinks she's hot. She's got some horse teeth on her, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, I think his wife is prettier.
Neither one of them are particularly attractive.
No, I mean, Reese Witherspoon is obviously, like, the prize in this movie.
I guess.
But
the 16-year-old prize. Where she was like, what? No, she, yeah. She says that when she was a freshman and she had his class, it was strictly professional.
Mm-hmm.
But when she became a junior, so she was like 16, maybe 17, that's when he started to fuck her.
As a junior, yeah. Yeah, 16, 17. That makes sense.
Yeah.
It's pretty disgusting, though. So her mom...
It's horribly disgusting.
Her mom found a card, though, as I was mentioning, from this teacher. That's like a fucking homemade Valentine's Day card or something. And it says, love, in quotes, your teacher, which is just disgusting.
Yeah, and he's basically like, hey, let's go away to fucking paradise or whatever. He's propositioning to take her on a trip to Hawaii somehow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how that's going to work, but...
It's not. He's an idiot.
And then he's like, I'm really horny right now, or I need you right now, or I want you right now, or something like that. And, yeah, the... Somehow he doesn't get... He just gets fired. Somehow he doesn't go to jail.
Yeah, I don't understand. I guess they didn't press charges, but...
It's so weird. Colleen Camp is a forgiving mom, I guess.
I guess.
That's who plays the mom.
But this girl is supposed to be... I mean, she is like, you know, class president material. That's like her goal in life is to become class president.
She's deeply super, unpopular.
Yeah. She's super smart. She's got all the grades. She dresses all preppy. She is not the kind of person you would guess is sleeping with the teacher.
No, not really. And he plays upon her loneliness too.
Yeah.
Like he says, we see a scene because they're working on the yearbook together or whatever. We see a scene where he's like, you know, oh, I'm just, you know, like people like you that are bound for greatness and stuff, it's a very lonely path you have to walk, and people don't understand you. And I just see you so isolated and stuff like that. And my penis, like, loves you. Like, it, yeah, it's fucked up.
Yeah.
The most of the movie, this is kind of the backstory of the movie. Most of the movie is just about the election, this senior class election that she's running for, and then later. What the fuck is this guy's name? Chris something.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
He's brand new. We've never fucking seen him before.
Okay.
Apparently, he was discovered at high school or whatever.
And wow, good for him.
Put into this movie. But he ends up running, and so does his lesbian sister end up running. This is clearly to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, what did you think of the movie? I'd like to know.
I mean, I liked it. It's weird.
Mm-hmm.
But it was an enjoyable movie.
It's definitely surrealistic.
Yeah.
The director is Alexander Payne is his name. And he hasn't done much, but there's a lot of real deliberate choices here, which I think work very well. He also co-wrote the script to this as well. He did something called Oh, what the hell was it called? He did one movie before this, and I can't remember what it was called. I'll think of it later.
Okay.
But anyway, this movie is based on a book. A book that was published in 1998. So last year, production of this movie started in 1997.
Okay.
So they must have, I didn't read too much about it other than the fact that the production started before the book was published.
That's weird.
So they must have had some kind of like inside like source or knowledge or something. The publishing, they must have sold the rights before the book had gone through the editing and publishing and everything.
Huh.
So they were like, yeah, okay, we'll do it. We want to make this into a movie. So yeah, it's kind of crazy. But the whole, like I said, most of the movie is just about this election. And it's very clearly a parody of elections. A parody mm-hmm. of, like, the last presidential election. And the Monica Lewinsky scandal and stuff with the sex and all that stuff. It's, like, you know, her having sex with the teachers, older guy, younger girl, you know, like, it's... Mm-hmm. Everything's kind of flipped around because she's the candidate. So it'd be like, she's like in the Monica Lewinsky role.
Right.
But she's, you know, the actual candidate. But yeah, everything is like, all those elements are there where it's very clearly parodying elections in general and that election in particular.
So.
I loved it. I thought it was really smart and inventive. Mm-hmm. It was bitingly sarcastic. There's a lot of small things. I don't even think I got everything that the movie has to offer. At one point, she was running unopposed at first for the presidency. And she says to him, she's putting on a Midwest accent, by the way.
This takes place hilarious.
This takes place in Omaha. And she's like, I'm putting up all my posters and everything. And she's like, oh, well, you're running unopposed. And she's like, yeah, well, nobody spends more money on advertising than Coca-Cola, but they're number one. Guess that's why they stay number one. And we see, right after that scene, we see him throwing a bunch of trash out of his car, mm-hmm. including Pepsi bottles.
Yeah.
And then, but later we see Coke in the movie, too.
Sure.
So it's like, I think there's something there. I think there's some kind of symbolism there between the Coke and Pepsi kind of thing.
Well, I kind of took it as just like, she's talking about how that's why Coke's number one. She obviously likes Coke, and he's like, fuck you, I don't like number one. I'm more offbeat. I like the different, you know.
But there's Pepsi in his refrigerator, too. Or, I mean, there's Coke in his refrigerator, too. Oh. So I feel like there's some symbolism there that I'd have to watch the movie a couple more times to fully get.
Yeah. You know what I didn't get? Is what? Did he want to have sex with her? Because
that I don't know either. It
seems like that might be part of the hostility.
I think that might be part of it. I'm not sure entirely. He doesn't want her to win the presidency. She says stuff like, we'll be working close together, mm-hmm. Mr. McAllister, and like...
Yeah, because he doesn't want to be close with her because he thinks he'll sleep with her.
That's my guess, is he feels like she's some kind of fucking temptress.
But you know what? It doesn't matter who he's by because he ended up sleeping with his friend's wife.
Yeah, exactly. He's just a creep anyway.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like maybe it was more of a... So, just to back it up a little bit, we get dueling narrations in this movie. Some of the movie is narrated by her from her point of view, and some of the movie is narrated from him and his point of view, and both are unreliable narrators. They're both biased in some way.
Yeah.
And then we get very briefly the Paul... The football star, very briefly, some narration from his point of view, and very briefly from his sister, the lesbian, from her point of view. But mostly it's dueling narrations between the two of them. And like I said, everyone's biased in the movie, and everyone's only speaking from their point of view.
Sure.
So a lot of things are heightened and weird, stuff like that. But... when she's talking to him about, like, oh, we're going to spend all this time together and stuff like that, I wonder how... It doesn't really come across necessarily like she's some kind of temptress. I don't know if we're supposed to think that.
Oh, I don't think so.
If, like, movie-wise. But, like, he clearly believes that she ruined his life.
Mm-hmm.
his friend's life instead of the other way around,
which is ridiculous.
He victimized a child.
Yeah, I mean, and he clearly went after her. It's not even like she was flirting with him. He would still be in the wrong if she was flirting with him and he slept with her.
Right.
But that wasn't what happened. He, like, got her alone. Like you said, played on the fact that she's lonely. She talked about how her dad's never been around, uh-huh. So there's that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it shows them, like, ending up together. So yeah. That was all him.
And she talks about how, like, at one point they have a conversation about it, her and Matthew Broderick.
Mm-hmm.
Like a veiled conversation about it. Where he's like, look, you know, I'm just going to say some certain situations happened between some certain ambitious students and their teachers. And, like, you know, somebody's very lucky that didn't come out. I guess maybe they didn't press charges because they didn't want it to come out.
Maybe.
Like, that didn't come out and ruin somebody's reputation. First of all, fuck you.
Right.
Like, threatening her with her reputation being ruined when she was the victim.
Yeah.
And he's like, and she's like, and his friend is so lucky he's not in jail.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, if some people didn't get all fucking mushy and shit like that.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And she's acting like she was the one in charge of the relationship or whatever, and he was the one, like, head over heels. He does break down and cry when confronted by the mom and the principal and everything, and he's like, when we're in love.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, it was stupid.
But yeah, it's, like, he's the adult. He's in the wrong. It's fucked up.
It's very fucked up. The whole thing. But yeah, I mean, she was definitely the victim no matter what.
Mm-hmm. But I do get the sense that he wants to sleep with her, or I think it's, he says, this is where I was going with the unreliable narration.
Okay.
He says at the beginning, I love teaching high school, and I love it so much, and my teacher, my students all know that I love it. It's more than a job for me. We get narration from her point of view that says, like, man, he's got to be bored teaching the same information over and over and over again, mm-hmm. every single year, and watching all his students go on to live, like, exciting lives and stuff like that, and he doesn't. And I think maybe she has more of the right of it than he does,
mm-hmm.
because I don't know that he necessarily wants to sleep with her. I think he just wants out of this life. Like, he seems bored and miserable with his wife.
Yeah.
They're trying to have a baby, and she's like, fill me up.
That's so fucked up.
Yeah. But she, like, so they're trying to have a baby, and they've been trying for a long time, and it's not happening. And he ends up helping around the house of their friend.
Because they do have a child, and the guy left, so yeah. Now she's a single mom.
And they end up fucking. And
picking, like, up all the chores.
Yeah. And, like, I feel like he just doesn't want to be with her. He's like, at one point, they're having sex. He's having sex with his wife from behind. And superimposed on the back of her head is the neighbor lady.
His friend's wife.
And then Tracy Flick, which is Reese Witherspoon's character's name. And she's like, fuck me, Mr. McAllister, or whatever. And it's really fucked up.
Yeah.
So, like, this guy's not okay.
I'm glad to hear you say that. I'm glad that you didn't watch this and think, yeah, he's got the right idea.
Why would I think that?
No, you wouldn't. It was just such an obvious statement. He's not okay.
But I mean, like he's not okay. Like, he's deeply not okay.
Yeah.
Like, there is some, like, serious depression or just malaise or something in his life,
mm-hmm.
where he is completely stuck in a rut. Because what happens when he gets discredited? He moves to New York.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens in the movie? Obviously, if you listen to this, you've seen the movie. They have the election. It's an extraordinarily close race. And she wins by one vote. Because her opponent, by the way, voted for her instead of himself.
Otherwise, it would have been tied.
He would have won. Because one vote would have got it taken away from her and added to him. Okay. His vote was the deciding vote.
Okay.
If he didn't vote, it would have been a tie, right?
Okay, yeah, I got you.
So his vote decided it.
Yeah. But yeah, he's like, it just didn't feel right to vote for myself.
It's fucked up.
But you know what? I don't think he really wanted to win anyway. He was sought out and recruited by Mr. McAllister to compete against her because he didn't want her to win.
Because he was watching a porno movie of a football player having sex with a cheerleader. A 40-year-old football player having sex with like a 29-year-old cheerleader. They're supposed to be in high school or whatever. But like, that's also kind of fucked up that he's watching
high school porn.
High school, like what they're, but they're not high school's age, but it's supposed to be high school porn. And then he thinks of this guy while he's watching this porn. There's a lot of school being, I don't know if it, like, just ridiculous. Like high school just being ridiculous and dumb and nonsensical and awful for most people. There's a lot of that undercurrent here.
Yeah.
This is like really a black comedy.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But it's like I like it. These are the kind of comedies I like. Mm-hmm.
I have a question though. Okay. So when he has an affair with his friend's wife, they have sex in the morning.
Yeah.
He said, and she says, take me to the motel, because he propositioned her.
Yeah.
The day before or whatever.
Yeah, I think like a week before, but yeah.
Yeah. Take me to that hotel you want to take me to. She's like, okay, I'll get it all set up. I'll meet you there. And he fucking goes out on his lunch break and he buys champagne and puts it on ice and sprinkles rose petals everywhere and like makes it all super nice for her. Do you do that if you're just in it for sex?
No, I think he really liked her.
Yeah.
But again, I don't think he says after he gets caught and everything. Well, he doesn't get caught, but the
she tells.
That's kind of fucked up, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that they had sex and she just immediately tells the wife.
Mm-hmm.
But she probably felt super guilty.
Because she was good friends with the wife.
Yeah, and she got cheated on.
Yeah.
You know, and like, she probably feels like, oh my God, I'm, like, devastated or whatever. But, like, he says, I love you on her answering machine he's calling her. But I don't, like, he doesn't love her.
No.
This is just, he's latching on to anything that breaks him out of this boring fucking life.
Can you imagine if they'd had a relationship and he would have ended up being a stepfather? This man could not be a father.
No.
He is a mess.
Oh, 100% he's a mess. And he feel like, like I said, he moves to New York City and we get 70s stock footage of New York City, which is hilarious. And all of his life is so shitty in New York City. He pays $1,500 a month for a closet that he lives in. He works as a docent at the Natural History Museum, which is like he can't be making much money.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that kind of like a college student job, not like a professional person job?
It's not. It's not a like a big, like, you don't make
it's an entry level job.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, so he can't be making much money, but he's talking as if this is the most exciting and like his life's so great.
Wasn't he talking like that at the beginning of the movie about high school?
I guess. Yeah. So you think he's still fucking miserable? This is the kind of character. I don't know if they're going to make a sequel to this. I would be interested in watching a sequel to this, but this is the kind of character that I think snaps and like starts shooting people.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I don't think he's really happy now.
No, I think it's, I think he is a deeply flawed and fucked up character.
Yes.
And she kind of is, too.
She definitely is.
She ends up going to Georgetown University. I guess she wants to get into politics in general. And she is seen with a representative from the House of Representatives from her state.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know what's going on. She gets in a limo with him. We don't know what's going on with that.
So, yeah, I worry about her getting into politics because she seems way too easily manipulated.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. She's supposed to be, like, just blindingly ambitious, too, though, mm-hmm. but she's too naive.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I don't know. Like, she does seem to be, like, a power-hungry kind of person. But I don't know. There might be like a foundation of wanting to help people too.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't heard her say anything about wanting to help anybody.
Well, in her speech, she talks about like I've talked to so many of you, you know, whatever. And then she starts outing people that told her the problems.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
But yeah, I don't know. there's a weird subplot with the lesbian sister.
Yeah.
And her girlfriend who ends up breaking up with her and then having sex with her brother and dating her brother.
Yeah.
And it's like she seems like she just wanted the brother the whole time.
Maybe. I mean, I don't think that they were really maybe even together. All we see is them laying in bed looking at each other, not actually doing anything. She's stroking. Friend is stroking her hair. Okay, yeah. They kissed. But I mean, like, it's not like a hot and heavy thing. These are teenage girls. So it could have been a fairly innocent, like, hey, let's just see how this feels. Mm-hmm. Not like a, hey, you're my girlfriend.
Yeah, well, the one seemed to think that that was the case.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, she then goes and gets with her brother. I think she did it just to hurt her. Maybe she was bi.
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. She seemed weird.
It was a very weird thing.
She does leave him at one point, like at the end of the movie, mm-hmm. too. There's also this weird thing at the end of the movie, too, where like three different characters are like, well, at least no one died. And then like he's like, you know, who knows what would have happened if I'd won the election. Maybe I would have died. And it's like, is there an alternate universe in your head where one of these kids died? Like, it's weird. It's a weird thing.
Yeah,
that's another thing where it's like, I don't know exactly what they're going for with that. It's interesting, but I don't know exactly what they're going for. But I feel like that's a deliberate choice and there's something there.
Well, people sometimes will tell themselves stuff like that to make it better when things don't work out the way they want. So
I guess. It didn't seem like that, though. Okay. It seemed like something else. I don't know.
I don't know.
But yeah, in general, like I said, I really liked this movie a lot. I thought it was just really good.
It was a very good, very dark, very entertaining. Definitely recommend.
Yeah, I would 100% recommend. There's a lot of interesting cinematography stuff here too. Just really a really good script too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that is the episode, Carol. Why don't you tell people where they can vote for class president?
Okay, so you can check out our website at www.retrolatefee.com.
Mm-hmm.
Check out or write us at latefee1994@aol.com.
Check out our write us.
Check out our Patreon at patreon.com/retrolatefee.
Yes.
And share the tapes with your friends.
Oh, we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.